From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
I'm Melissa Block, and we begin this hour with the conflict in Libya. NATO has designated a Canadian, Lieutenant General Charles Bouchard, to lead the ongoing mission there. Also today, fighting raged in the east around the city of Ajdabiya between rebels and troops loyal to Muammar Gaddafi. From the air, NATO strikes pounded government forces in the area.
There are many questions about U.S. policy and strategy in Libya, and we're going to pose some of them now to White House aide Ben Rhodes. He is Deputy National Security Advisor for Strategic Communications, and welcome to the program.
Thanks, Robert. Good to be with you.
First, the aim of the no-fly zone is ostensibly limited to protecting civilians. The president says U.S. policy is Gaddafi should go. Does that mean that, say, a ceasefire in place, which some countries are advocating, is something the U.S. would support because civilians would be safe, or something Washington would oppose because Muammar Gaddafi would remain in power?
Well, again, with respect to our military engagement, it is very limited to the civilian protection mission. So stopping the ability of Gaddafi to use air assets against his people and stopping his advances of his forces into places like Benghazi, where you could have massacres of thousands of people. So in terms of enforcing the UN Security Council resolution, that does not include regime change, and we would not use our military to effect regime change. As a matter of U.S. policy, we would continue to use a number of other measures to pressure Gaddafi, financial sanctions, international isolation, support for the Libyan opposition.
But if a ceasefire were on the table, everybody stops fighting and stays in place, Gaddafi in Tripoli, rebels in Benghazi, for now that would be success in terms of the
military objective. Now, I'd be very skeptical because Gaddafi a number of times has said he was going to abide by a ceasefire and just continued to carry out his military assaults. But in terms of the military objective, if the civilians are protected and there's a no-fly zone enforced, that would accomplish the military objective.
Libyan rebels are asking for arms. They're asking the world to support them in their fight against forces loyal to Colonel Gaddafi. Why doesn't the U.S. Send them arms or support those who do?
Well, we are in conversations with the Libyan opposition about the type of assistance that we can provide to them. For instance, we have a great deal of money that we froze of Gaddafi's assets. We're exploring ways in which you might be able to provide some of that back to the Libyan people. And we're looking at providing other types of humanitarian and other assistance to them.
Are you saying, by the way, that frozen Libyan assets could be used by the rebels to buy weapons to fight against the government?
Well, again, our view is that that money basically belongs to the Libyan people. It doesn't belong to us. There are various restrictions in terms of how you can use that. But what we would like to do over time is to find ways to provide assistance, including potentially from the money that has been frozen from Gaddafi.
I want to ask you about the implications of the Libya policy for other countries in the region. This week, there are big protests in Syria. There has been, in part, a violent crackdown by security forces. If the Assad regime were to crack down still more violently and claim more civilian lives, would the U.S. propose intervention to stop the government from doing that in Syria?
I think it's hard to gauge hypotheticals in the region. Things have been moving very fast in recent weeks. I think what you saw in Libya was an imminent potential catastrophe where the scale of the violence far exceeded what we'd seen in any other country. But part of the reason, frankly, to intervene is because it would send a very bad message to the rest of the region that if Gaddafi were able to essentially massacre his own people into submission, not only would you have had huge refugee flows across the borders, but the positive democratic momentum would really have been reversed in the face of a dictator who showed that the way through this is to show absolutely no restraint in massacring your people.
But what you're saying, if I hear you right, is that what distinguishes repression in Libya from repression in Syria so far, or Bahrain, or potentially someday in Saudi Arabia, is essentially quantitative. It's how many people might be killed to stamp out protest, not that there are people being killed by the forces.
Yes, it's a matter of scale in the sense that you've had violence in all of these countries, and we've condemned it in every instance. But the violence in Libya would approach a scale that was far greater. So frankly, it is a matter of scale that when you're faced with a massacre of great scale in the thousands, tens of thousands, that's when the international community, we feel, has a responsibility to step in and act.
But you've cited the argument that if there were no action taken by the international community in Libya, that would be a green light for other autocrats to respond in kind to protest movements in their country. Is it fair to say that Syria is the test of the week? That is, if the Syrians don't show restraint, that would disprove that red light, green light theory, wouldn't it?
Well, I think there's another important factor, which is that often violence against protesters, frankly, only amplifies the protests. You've often seen the size of protests grow after leaders use violence against peaceful protesters, and you've seen the demands of the protesters become more maximalist after they're attacked by their own government. So, frankly, President Assad's choice that he needs to make is based on, number one, of course, our respect for the universal rights of the Syrian people to peacefully protest, but number two, that engaging in violent action is only going to further alienate him from his own people and very likely invite even larger protests and even greater demands from the opposition forces.
Well, Mr. Rhodes, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thanks very much. It was good to be with you.
That's Ben Rhodes, who is Deputy National Security Advisor for Strategic Communications. He spoke to us from the White House.